Sports opinion with chicken and beer is flowing here, wrapped up in the podcast network rotation. Sports opinion with chicken and beer is flowing here, wrapped up in the podcast network rotation. Sports opinion.
Welcome to episode 10 of the Beer and Chicken Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Mr. Span. We are chilling out here on this Sunday afternoon, man. I got the homeboy Walt locked down. Say what's up to the people, fam.
What's going on? What's going on?
Walt calling in remote, man. These power outages and this weather fucking up the whole shindig. You see what I'm saying? But you got to make it happen.
Oh, man.
Got to make it happen.
They got power lines down behind my car. I can't even move, man.
Yeah, that's fucked up. Maybe that's why you can't charge your phone, man. You can't get in the car, nigga. Oh, man.
But, I'm going to be all right.
Hey, man. I'm glad the homie can be in here on the show, man, even despite the circumstances, right? And we also got the homeboy Cliff, a.k.a. DJ Neff. Say what's up to the people, fam.
What's going on?
Cliff is here now, man. Cliff had to ditch us last week. You know?
Nobody ditched, okay? First of all, I got invited to the Black Women's Expo.
Oh.
And,
yeah,
I was there all day. Don't be a hater on your life.
Wait. Hold on. Let me cut this off.
Oh, you got to cut the music off.
Jesus Christ. Cliff always takes everything as hate. Everything. Don't be a hater, nigga. Like, I'm gonna need you not to be a hater and actually get you a Don't Be a Hater shirt, my nigga. Like,
cheers. That's true.
You need to get one, my nigga. But yeah, man, it is episode 10. 3 months in. We are 10 episodes in, man. It's a whole lot of shows. I don't even get to 10 episodes. Let me tell y'all, as a podcast veteran, sometimes this shit just don't happen, right? But yeah, man, we got the whole crew. The struggle cast continues. You know what I'm saying? We ain't got everybody in studio, but damn it, we rocking out. You know what I'm saying? We doing what we do, baby. We about to talk these sports. We about to get these hot takes and whatever else, man. And we going to have fun while we doing it, man. So, Cliff, man, what you been up to outside of being at the Black Women's Expo, brother?
You know what, man? Funny thing. I think I text you guys. You ever restart your computer and when it comes back on, it is completely white?
Nah, it never happened. Never happened.
First time, man.
This is not something that I'm familiar with.
Well, my computer that I used to DJ with, man, it turned back on. It was nothing on it, like it was brand new. I almost lost my damn mind, man.
That sounds like some I want to throw some shit out the window kind of shit, dude. Like,
yes, I did, man. And the thing is, I got the little, you know, little program with the Geek Squad.
Right.
They still got my damn computer, man. They still ain't came back and told me what the deal is. I just want to know if the data can be salvaged. You know what
I'm saying? Right. You know the funny thing about
Geek Squad. If the Geek Squad can't figure out your computer, you need a new computer.
Nah, man, I don't know about that. Geek Squad be on some. I'm just saying, Geek Squad be on some. Like they be raping your pockets, kind of shit, nigga. I remember one time, dude, I had put like I needed a memory upgrade for a computer that I had, and like I already had bought the part or whatever, and Geek Squad charged me $40 to put the motherfucker in there, right? And I'm watching the dude do the shit. I'm like, wait. What? I could have did this shit at home by myself, nigga. And I'd have been.
But you ain't know though, so you had to pay that cash.
I didn't know at the time, but nigga, now that but check this out though, because this is like before like YouTube was really cracking. You know what I'm saying? This is like I want to say like 2008, 2009. Like YouTube wasn't really cracking the way that it is. You know, it's so like commonplace now, the way you can go on YouTube and find out how to do shit. Like it wasn't like that. Now I'm like, nigga, I go to YouTube before I think about spending any money with anybody. Like, hey man, if I don't feel like I can do this myself, then fuck you, nigga. Like,
you're straight.
Yeah, Geek Squad. They don't. I don't know how much money Geek Squad done lost from one. People finding out that they was giving their computers to the FBI to see if they got porn on them, and two,
I ain't got to worry about that. You understand?
Man, you know how fucked up that'd be if I had Cliff on the TV on the news and shit talking about he had a whole a gang of child porn on this shit. And I'd be on the news and be like, you know how they always go to their friends and shit, right? They'd be like, man, I don't know this nigga all my life. I never would have thought he did. Yeah, man, it's good. It's good.
No, not next. Him.
Next. It's good. Next. Good to have you. Today on the Beer Chicken Podcast.
No, it's good to have you back, bro. Walt, what's going on with you, man?
Oh, man. Nothing but the weather, man. It's just killing me, man.
Yeah.
No, weird. I can't do nothing, man. I can't move. I got no power. This is ridiculous. I got homework due. I got to do the podcast from the phone. Something just don't like me this weekend. But nevertheless, I'm pushing. Hey, that's what they got that good old mobile hotspot on the cell phones for these days.
Hey, you know what, though? We really need to get a T-shirt with a picture of Walt and call this nigga the Super Podcaster. Like, real talk.
And like this. Come on, like this.
Real talk. Like, get like I'm gonna get a graphic artist on this shit, man. Get a picture of Walt, call him the Super Podcaster, dude. Cause like, I remember when this nigga was talking about moving and podcasting at the same fucking time, yo. It's like, dude, like go ahead and move, nigga. We'll be all right. We
Man, I'm just that type of person, man. I'm dedicated. You know what I'm saying? If I'm supposed to do something, I'm supposed to be there to do it. That's just what it is.
Yo, Walt is the Super.
If I gotta bend a couple corners and bust a couple moves to be able to do it, then you know.
I hear that, man. I was actually supposed to be at work this weekend, man. All this weekend. I was supposed to work Saturday and Sunday, and this rain canceled all of that shit. And at first they was talking about it was mandatory for Saturday. And then it was like, nah, we gonna cancel it for Saturday because of the weather. And then it was like, I was scheduled to go in Sunday. I wanted to go in Sunday because, you know, nigga need the extra bread. And
hell yeah.
I looked up and they was talking about, yo, you know, with the rain in the forecast, we may end up canceling the entire weekend. I'm like, fuck. Because I don't mind going to work when you're going to pay that extra bread. You know what I'm saying? Like, go ahead.
Hell yeah.
Lace my pockets, my nigga. Lace my pockets. But, yo, man, I'm here at the crib, and it's raining like a motherfucker. It's like winter won't let us go, dog. It won't let us go.
Not at all.
Winter is like Debo, nigga. Like, what spring?
You know what happened on Thursday? Weather Channel said it was going to be 70 degrees here, man. 70 degrees, people coming out of the house in t-shirts. Dude, I got downtown, it was a high of 39.
Wait, it was supposed to be 70 today?
No, this was Thursday.
Yeah, it was hot Thursday.
No, it was.
Yeah, it was nice Thursday.
No, it was like this. It said, y'all gonna be hot? Skirt, it went straight to y'all.
Oh, okay. I mean, it was warm here Thursday, man. I felt like I was overdressed at the job, man. I'm like, man, I start taking shit off. Like, god damn.
That's why I'm drinking this night.
What you got, man?
I got a hot toddy.
This nigga is drinking a hot
toddy. I was just getting ready to ask what y'all drinking on today, man.
Man, I'm drinking on the last of my Guinness Blonde, man. Mm. The last of it. I couldn't wait for y'all, man. I drank the last of that. I started on the six pack about 10 o'clock this morning.
I'm finna say it ain't too early for you.
Nah, man. You talking to somebody that goes to New Orleans every year, man. You drinking all day long there, man. I mean, what's a beer?
Yeah, this is true.
What's a beer? I'm not having no hard shit. And this was the last one, so I probably won't have another beer for the rest of the day.
See, now you done made me feel bad because I'm actually drinking hard shit.
Well, we might need to talk about that sometime, Walt. might need to have a conversation, Walt. Are you
sit on somebody's couch.
have an intervention. Walt be like,
hey, look, it's the weekend. I only drink on the weekend.
Hold on. Hold on. This Walt, where is it at? I know I got it. I know I got it. Here we go.
The fact that we
hey, look, I ain't got no power, man. I ain't got nothing to do but sit here and have some Crown Royal and sit here with my lovely lady.
Hey, man, let me tell you something. The fact that we laugh at that dude is so wrong on so many levels because that is like so serious.
that's almost like that story with that little that kid that was at the daycare and the Easter Bunny came in there and she was like terrified. You know what I'm saying? I laughed at that shit. I ain't gonna even lie. I know I'm going to hell behind that. But like her mama and her grandparents and shit, like, hold up, man. Like, she wasn't even supposed to be on video and everything else, man. It was like, I see y'all point. But I ain't gonna lie, man. I laughed like a motherfucker. And I'm like, man, I'm terrible, nigga. I'm just terrible. But yeah, man, let's get into the show.
Oh, boy.
Let's get into the show, man. Now, because the homeboy Cliff couldn't be with us last week because he was at the Black Women's Expo, bro. I know you want to talk about Canelo Alvarez, man, and steroids, bro. So what you got for us this weekend?
You know what? I don't know about y'all, but in the 90s, I was all into boxing. I thought boxing was the shit, man. You know, Tyson and everybody else. And now it's kind of watered down. Floyd don't even get me excited, but when I read, I got an article, and they talk about Canelo and Triple G, and this is on GenerationIron.com, this boxing website.
All right.
I'm going to read you. It's a short article. It says, earlier this month, Canelo tested positive for a clenbuterol, a PED. The amount was detected was consistent with the contamination through meat products. However, this test failure has opened up a new dialogue of criticism for the boxing world, including Floyd Mayweather and Eddie Hearn. I don't know about him. Whether or not clenbuterol was due to bad meat, many boxers feel Canelo has been illegally juicing for his career.
Mm.
Which to me is like, wow, because I kind of like Canelo. Triple G, in a live interview, this is what he said. I thought this was hilarious. He says, again with the Mexican meat? Come on, I told you, it's not the Mexican meat, it's Canelo. I thought that was hilarious. This is his team, this is his promotion. Canelo is cheating. They're using these drugs and everybody is just trying to pretend it's not happening. This guy, he knows this is not Friday, first Friday in boxing. He proves he gets benefits from everyone and he can get away with it. Check him on a lie detector and then we can find out everything. It says that the Nevada State Athletic Commission temporarily suspended Alvarez last week. They will hold a meeting on April 10th to determine Canelo's future. And they said Alvarez's utilization indigestion and or consumption of clenbuterol, whether intentional or not, constitutes an anti-doping violation. So, you know, I kind of feel like Triple G. You know, Canelo has always had some type of suspicious, feel around whether or not if he was juicing or not.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I feel like damn near every boxer nowadays has some type of suspicion around whether or not they're juicing. You know, even who did Floyd fight and they said he had the little stuff in the styrofoam cup. I can't even think homie name now.
Me neither. But I remember Floyd. I just remember Floyd always accusing Manny Pacquiao of steroids.
Pacquiao, yeah, because he was talking about what's in your cup. What's in your cup?
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, honestly, if they really wanted to control what people are taking, if they're juicing or if it's through meat. You know, it's funny that Triple G talks about, you know, it's not Mexican meat because Canelo was saying, well, you know, he's in Mexico all the time and, you know, they're injecting these cows with these steroids and all this other stuff, and he's getting it through what he eats. And that's kind of some bullshit, which is he's right. You know, that stuff ain't gonna stay in your system that long, to the point where when you go in for, you know, for testing with the Nevada State Commission or whoever does it, that is still gonna be in your system.
But that depends on how much you're eating, though, right?
This Canelo is 150 pounds.
I'm saying, though, like, if you're eating this constantly, it might not necessarily dilute before it's, you know, like, say if it was a one-off, right, and you just ate one fucking sandwich, and then it takes a couple days for it to, like, kind of, you know, get up out of your system. Like, if you're consistently eating red meat for a period of time, and it probably takes a little while longer for that stuff to get out of your system, is all I'm saying.
True.
Let me break it down in a different way than what Span trying to say. It's like smoking weed. The more you smoke, the longer it takes to get out your system.
Now, because, you know, interestingly enough,
black people always got to use weed.
Because interestingly enough, like, they were talking, I was reading another story about this, because, like I said, we were going to talk about this a little bit last week. I was reading this. This actually comes out of abcnews.com. And it says, Combluterol has shown up in drug tests for many Mexican athletes in recent years due to meat contamination in the country. Alvarez also said that meat contamination also causes positive tests. As part of the voluntary testing program that Canelo Alvarez insisted on ahead of his May 5th fight, one of his results came back positive for trace levels of clenbuterol, consistent with meat contamination that has impacted dozens of athletes in Mexico over the last years, Golden Boy Promotions, Alvarez promoter, said in a statement addressing the positive test. It says these values are all within the range of what is expected from meat contamination. Upon receiving this information, Golden Boy immediately notified the Nevada State Athletic Commission and Gennady Golovkin's promoter, Tom Loeffler. So, you know, they actually told on themselves with the fact that he had been testing positive for trace amounts of clenbuterol. One of the questions about whether or not it's even is the fact that he also trains in San Diego. So if he's not at home in his hometown in Guadalajara, Mexico, like, and he's training in San Diego, then that could bring in questions as to whether or not he's eating contaminated meat. Like, they're not bringing in the meat from Mexico for him to eat when you got Texas right before. Before Guadalajara. Look, and I've been to Guadalajara. Fine place. But, yeah.
Fine. Yeah. Listen, I hear what both of y'all are saying. Yeah, it'll be in your system 30 days. And, oh, everybody in Mexico is eating from the same farm. Whatever. Here's the thing, man. Golden Boy's got millions, and so does Canelo. I'm not gonna put my whole career on the line based off of chancing what I'm eating from where I live. Yo, check that meat. You know, he got people cooking for him. His mama ain't cooking that food. Man, hey, test that. Man, look, I don't even want to eat from Guadalajara no more. I'm about to get a $40 million fight. You think I'm gonna have that put at risk because of, oh, I'm going to just use this as an excuse? That's some bullshit, man. And that's just me personally. I don't care what Golden Boy says, even if they my boss. I'm like, hey, y'all, I don't even want to chance it. To me, Mexico, they know what they are. They just trying to find an excuse. And now, of course, you giving me some more information saying that dude trains in San Diego. What he like? Hey, man, make sure my meat coming from Hey, uncle, bring that meat up. Hell no. And they know exactly what they doing. And that's why I'm with Triple G. He's like, yeah, it's the meat. That shit is not the meat, dog. That is not the meat. And if Golden Boy was smart, they would make sure at least 30 days out, they would test these homies. You know? That's just me, man.
But they
I don't think it's the meat neither, because if this is something that they know that has been contaminating the meat that they put in the meat in Mexico for some, you know, they've tested for this before and they know that it's a fact. That boxers that are from, because like we all know that a lot of the fighters are from that region. Mm-hmm. So if they know this, like you said, these dudes make millions of dollars. Mm-hmm. How come everybody who know this just don't say, okay, just when y'all want to eat meat, we just make sure we ain't getting it from here?
Okay, now here's a question that I got for the both of y'all, right? We now know that the meat in Mexico could be contaminated with this clenbuterol steroid, right? We now know this. At what point could it be, because I'm not even saying that I, you know, even agree with what's going on with Alvarez and whatnot. I don't know. But what I'm saying is, like, at what point does it become a thing where they've been eating this, not knowing it, and then afterwards they found out that this meat had been contaminated, and other fighters, other athletes have also found out that they have been testing positive for this, and then this becomes a thing. And that's why they became, that's why they like, yo, we going to report this out ourselves, because they told on themselves. They reported themselves to the Nevada Athletic Commission. Nobody actually came forward with new information other than them doing this for themselves. So what the question I would have for y'all is whether or not they found out after the fact and they still reported it, or whether you believe it was just a concerted effort that they like, he's doping and it's a concerted effort. He's been cheating and that's just is what it is.
I can answer that real easy. You know, they've been getting away with it from the jump, right? They've been getting away with it somehow, some way, who knows? But I don't know what the timeline is from when, you know, Golden Boys, you know, tricked off on themselves and then Canelo. I don't have that timeline. All I'm saying is there's no way in hell, man, that I'm just going to go back to what I just said. I'm going to put my shit at risk. Hey, man, Golden Boy, they ain't going to feel it. They got enough fighters out there. They making money every day. But a big fighter like Canelo fighting Triple G, they already know he was here. They suspected this a long time ago. And I'm just like, I'm over it. Don't so, give me no excuse talking about losing the damn hamburger.
Hold on. So if you already know, right? Like, here's the thing. Like, if you already know that, like, yo, I'm not going to put my career at risk, at the risk of testing positive for said, you know, banned substance, right? And then he goes ahead, their whole fight camp decides to go ahead, and the whole camp decides, like, yo, we're going to get out in front of this, and we're going to report that, yo, he's testing positive for, you know, trace amounts of clenbuterol. Like, at what point is it like, well, maybe it could be. Not saying that it is, but it could be. Not that he's like, yo, I'm going to risk it by not eating this meat. Like, he lives in fucking Guadalajara, dude. Like, come on. That's all I'm saying. Like, you keep saying, I'm not going to risk my career over this, when really it's like, yo, maybe they found out after the fact, and that's why they came out and said it, as opposed to, like, letting it be found out by some other means.
Let me ask you something. If Trump was Canelo, would you believe him?
He ain't. Come on, man. Fuck out my face with that. You know damn well.
Exactly. That's my whole point. Look, man. Look. Walk like a duck. Talk like a duck is a duck. And that nigga lying. And they getting caught up. Bottom line. And you know what? Here's what I respect. I respect Golden Boy for backing him. I give him that. You know what? You go down, I'm going down with the ship. And
they want to go down with the ship. Yeah.
Exactly. They want to get out in front of it. All right. Fine, come on, man. They want to blame it on some goddamn meat. You telling me it's some 5-year-old boy walking around there strong as fuck? Hell no.
They said trace amounts. See, that's the thing. Trace amounts of this particular thing. Like, even if you want to talk about, like, if we gonna go systemic with shit, like, you could look at Flint, Michigan, and how they got lead in the fucking water, and people are being affected with the lead in the water in Flint, Michigan. Now. Every fucking day. Like, it's not as if these sorts of things don't happen is the point that I'm making. So it would lend credence to the story that, like, yo, there's a systemic thing going on in Mexico when it comes to the meat and how they're producing it, how they're producing this meat and giving it to the public, and he consumes some of this, and that this is the reason why he could have had steroids in his motherfucking system. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, and guess what? It's just, you know what? It just so happened he want to stay down in Guadalajara and get some of this meat. You know what I'm saying?
Or,
that's how I'm thinking.
Or he just want to be at home, just like you. Like, you would, you, if you're going to be training, right? They say he was training in San Diego too, which isn't that far from Mexico either. But you typically, a lot of athletes, especially a lot of professional fighters, a lot of professional athletes, period, are creatures of habit. And they like to train in places where they're familiar. Yo, it doesn't, like, sound to me like him training in Mexico, because he's from Mexico, that it would be suspicious that he would want to be in Mexico to train. Like, that just doesn't sound suspicious to me. But that's just me.
I feel you. But to me, it just sounds like a crock of shit, like Triple G is saying. Okay? That's all I'm saying. Right. I'm with Canelo. I mean, I'm with Triple G. He said, it's not the Mexican meat. And you talk about it being systemic. It's, you know, they're like, oh, well, you know, all boxers from Guadalajara have been tested for this. That means the whole goddamn communities walk around and knock them off.
No, it wasn't just Guadalajara. They said Mexico, period. He's from Guadalajara.
Yeah. But, so the whole country is KO'ing motherfuckers walking down the street.
Let's think about it like this, dude. There's hormones in the meat that we consume every day. You know, they talk about how big Americans are in relative to the rest of the fucking world, dude. Like, that's just a thing.
Cause we eat fat shit. We fry every day, nigga.
And our meats are injected with hormones and antibiotics and all sorts of shit all the time, and we consuming it. Like, that's just a thing, man. Well, doesn't mean that we all gonna be out here knocking motherfuckers out, but I'm just saying, like, yo, we bigger than a whole hell of a lot of the people on the globe just because of the food that we consume.
The food that we eat, yeah.
Yeah, well,
that's why we produce all the best athletes. I mean, when the last time America really lost in the Olympics in anything, really, anything important?
Like, think about it, though.
Look, first of all, it's a goddamn Harold's Chicken, JJ's, Fish, Sharks. I don't know what the hell y'all got, Detroit, but everywhere you go, you want to go get you a 6-piece of fries. It's available.
Listen,
all day
I may be from Detroit, but I got some Chicago with me, man. I'm a JJ's Fish fan, so.
Look,
some of that mild sauce, baby. I already know what it is.
Look, all I'm saying is, you know what? I get it. All the meat in the world probably got some type of shit in it, but how come Floyd and everybody else in the United States ain't coming up testing positive for some type of PED? Why? Because we ain't doing what they doing. And they down there getting that goddamn belt and a needle. And they stick it. That's what the deal is. And they try to blame it on some meat, the whole goddamn country. I'm done. Yeah.
All right.
Hey, Cliff don't sound like he liked the whole meat theory. He's mad about the meat theory.
Straight up, man. That's some bullshit. And the thing is, he beat Triple G last bet.
Hey.
He was high as hell.
I low key. I'm low key thinking about like renaming this episode to Mexican meat, nigga. Mexican meat, nigga, real talk. But we get that going on. Walt, man, what you got this week, brother?
I just want to know how everybody feel about this whole rookie of the year. We're going to switch it to the NBA a little bit. Uh-huh. This rookie of the year thing with Ben Simmons and Donovan Mitchell. Now, the NBA rule says that a player who gets drafted that don't get to play his first season is eligible to win rookie of the year the following season.
Right.
A la David Robinson, Blake Griffin. You know, a lot of people, quite a few guys have won rookie of the year that said because they had to sit out their first season.
Right.
So recently there's been a lot of people back and forth, you know, on the fence of, you know, well, should the rule be changed because, you know, they kind of got an advantage if they sit out a season, even if they don't play a game on the court, a regular season game, they still kind of got an advantage over somebody coming straight out of college who puts on the show his rookie year and deserves the rookie of the year honor. Now, I, for one, I'm on the side of Donovan Mitchell. I don't, as great as Ben Simmons is and as good as he's playing, I don't think he should be eligible for rookie of the year because this is not his rookie season. Mm. Even though they don't get to play games because he didn't get to play a game because he was hurt, he still got to experience, you know, one-on-one time with the trainers, you know, practice with his teammates, you know, camaraderie with the teammates, traveling with the teammates, getting used to the schedule and everything versus somebody who just getting drafted coming out of college, playing their first NBA season, who was just a couple of months ago playing in the NCAA, which is totally different. Mm. I believe that Donovan Mitchell should get the MVP over Ben Simmons.
You mean rookie of the year?
Not trying to take nothing away from Ben Simmons because he's a beast. He's a monster. And it's not because of his gameplay, just on the simple fact that he kind of got an advantage by being his second year. I wanted to get y'all take on that.
You want to get on this first, Cliff, or?
Go ahead. I'll wait for you.
All right. Yeah, I don't agree with you at all, Walt. Like, that's bullshit.
I didn't think you would. I didn't think you would.
I don't agree with you at all. Like,
that's why you couldn't play guitar clip. You want some of this? Because I want in.
No, only and I say that
I'm on an island today. Yeah, I'm on an island. Today. That's okay.
You on the all island, right? You on the island with this? One, this rule has been around forever, dude. Like, it's as you noted, man. Like, David Robinson was drafted. He didn't play his first, I think, couple years because he had Navy obligations that he had to fulfill.
Right.
Blake Griffin was drafted and he was hurt, didn't play the year that he should have. And then he came out, won the MVP in a landslide over John Wall. I think if any, like, John Wall would have a beef more so than Donovan Mitchell would. The thing is, man, despite the fact that those dudes were drafted a year earlier, they didn't play. They didn't have a chance to go out there and compete against NBA talent. They didn't go out there and have the back-to-back grind, putting that grind on their bodies and any of that, dude. Like, they didn't put in the time to be able to contribute to their team. Yeah, they may have been able to participate in limited capacities for practice. Yeah, they may have been able to watch some tape. Yeah, they may even been able to, like, get some treatment from the team doctors and everything else. But they didn't actually go out there and produce on the floor. And the Rookie of the Year award is about your production on the floor your rookie year. It's not about when you got drafted, is what you did the first time we seen you in a full season. And so I don't have any beef with Ben Simmons or Blake Griffin or David Robinson being contenders for the Rookie of the Year, because truth be told, like, yo, they were rookies that year. That was the first time they competed against real NBA talent on a consistent basis. So as much as, like, Donovan Mitchell has been balling, Ben Simmons has been balling his ass off too. And I would say that Ben Simmons is the Rookie of the Year based on not only his production, but the fact that it was the first time that he actually consistently was able to compete against NBA talent. And look at where his team is at. They in the motherfucking playoffs. So,
Walt, I'm going to have to leave you on that island. I'm going to have to leave you on that island, man. I agree with Span. And I think for me, you know, if somebody's hurt, you can't hold that against them. You know, David Robinson, if he was fighting for our country's freedom, how you going to, you know, take the opportunity for him to prove himself on the court? And
pause. Hold on. Stop, Cliff. I don't want to take your time away from you, but I want to address that real quick, that because this address you and Span at the same time real quick. It's the same thing. Injuries should play the same effect across the board. It's the same thing with the Boston Celtics, for example. Kyrie got hurt. Are we going to say, oh, well, this postseason don't count? Because, nigga, you hurt. If you hurt, you hurt. It's part of the game.
But that way,
you understand what I'm saying, like, it's part of the game. If you get hurt and if you wind up getting hurt and got to sit out your rookie year, then you can't compete for Rookie of the Year. You get hurt and you can't compete for a championship. It's just what it is.
What you are talking about right now is a team goal compared to an individual goal. They are not the same thing, bro.
Agreed. Exactly.
And well, to finish my statement, check it, man. I get it. People get hurt, and they got hurt before they were able to show us what they can do, right? And when it comes to Ben Simmons, since we're talking about him, we didn't see what he can do. We can't. How can we strip him of that? And he couldn't give us nothing, you know. And when it comes to him, and what's the old homie name?
Donovan Mitchell.
Guess what? Now you can put both of them on the court, and whoever's best, that's who gets it. Period. And I'm not taking anything away from Mitchell. I think, look, he's always on damn, you know, top 10 ESPN doing something crazy, you know. But when it comes down to it, man, it's who's the better player. You know, like Span said, who's in the playoffs? And if he's a better player, that's who gets it. That, you know, if he deserves that honor, then you give it to him. I think Mitchell is definitely going to show himself and be one of the elite stars in the NBA. You know, but at this moment, when it comes down to judging, you know, what they did on the court as far as statistics and probably what they did with their team too, because I think Mitchell made his squad much better than they were last year. Not only that,
Simmons got Embiid. Mitchell ain't got nobody.
Think about it. Like,
but go ahead. Continue.
That's not Mitchell's fault. You know, Embiid is a, all star stem cell one day.
Think about it like this, man. Like, we've seen, like, dudes get drafted from teams overseas and not even come over to the league to play for, like, 4, sometimes even 5 years after they were initially drafted, right?
Rubio.
Shit, not even Rubio. Not just Rubio. Think about Arvydas Sabonis. Like, he had been
drafted
a long time before he ever actually played a game for the Portland Trailblazers. You think about Tony Kukoc. The Bulls had drafted him like 3 or 4 years before he actually played a game for the Chicago Bulls. But when they finally played for those teams in the NBA, they were rookies. And Arvydas Sabonis was the oldest rookie of all time.
Yeah, like, but that's different, though.
What's different
about injury
it?
Is di- you, what's it wasn't, he they, didn't. He wasn't held out because of some obligation to somewhere else or something else or whatever the case, man. He sat out because of injury.
He did
and
not
injury
play
is a part of the game. That's just how I look at injury. It's a part of the game.
He
if
did
you
not
get injured,
play
you can't compete
for
a championship.
Team.
If you injured, you can't compete for rookie of the year. You can't compete for MVP. That's just part of the game.
Well, they did not play for that team.
So if that be the case, but what I'm saying is if that be the case, right? Okay. If that be the case, Anthony Davis. Or I mean, not Anthony Davis, but what's the face? Who was it? It was somebody going for somebody. It was a year or so ago. I think it was Kevin Durant got hurt or whatever. That was he could have been MVP that season.
Hey, you know
but
what?
Because he so we gonna automatically put him in the MVP running next season because he couldn't come be in it last season. Like it's kind of like I don't know, man. It's kind of like.
That's not
injury
how it
is
works.
A part of the game.
That's not how it works, dude. Like, yo, he couldn't be an MVP candidate for the season in which he got hurt. But guess what? He's an MVP season if he puts up an MVP season the next year. You see what I'm saying? So that's what happens, dude. Like, if the guy is not even playing on the team.
You only get to be a rookie once, though. That's the only difference.
Okay. And that was their first season in the league. He didn't play last season. That's his first season in the league this year. He didn't play last year. This is his rookie season.
I still think he had an advantage, but we're gonna agree to disagree on it. I still think it's an advantage.
How does one have an advantage? How does one have an advantage?
Because that's extra. Okay,
he's not playing.
You, Donovan Mitchell, right? You playing college ball? College season end. You get drafted to the NBA. You go to the NBA. You play your first. You getting thrown. It's sink or swim. You see what I'm saying? But you, Ben Simmons, you go to the NBA, you injured so you can't play no games, but you still get to get adjusted to the traveling. You still get to get adjusted to your teammates. You still get to practice a little bit. You still get one-on-one time with the training staff, you know, work on moves and work on this and that. You know what I'm saying? You still get to study the plays and study the playbook or whatever for a whole year.
Well, when you hurt,
this is
you
something that, this is an advantage that Donovan Mitchell don't got. He's a fish getting thrown in the water.
Hey, well,
sink or swim.
When you hurt, you ain't doing none of that shit you just said, dog.
Like, you at the crib.
You ain't doing none of that shit you just said.
No, that's not true. Niggas is not at the crib. Niggas is at the training facility. Niggas is watching, like you said, they watching film. They getting, you know, they looking at the playbook. They learning the playbook. They doing all that.
There is no substitution for actually being out there playing with your teammates against other NBA talent. There is no substitute.
It's still an advantage, though. It's still an advantage. You got to admit that. It's still an advantage.
It's not an advantage to not being able to fucking
that's
play,
like going
bro.
To a, that's like going to an NFL team. That's like you sitting under the coach for a year, learning the playbook, learning the route tree, you know what I'm saying? Learning this and that and the thing. You know what I'm saying? You learning all this stuff. You might not get on the field, but you learning everything, the culture of the organization. You learning how your teammates play, what they like, what they don't like. You learning all this in that year. That's something that's an advantage that Donovan Mitchell.
Utah traded
pretty much their whole entire team. This rookie came in with no prior experience in the NBA at all and took that team to the playoffs by himself, pretty much.
I got a question. So you telling me because Ben Simmons sat on his ass for a whole year, he had an advantage against Mitchell?
No way he sat on his ass the whole year. You can't tell me. He might not have been out there playing active ball, but he was out there working on moves with the trainers. He was out there working on back to the basket moves or shooting free throws or whatever the case may be. He was out there doing something. He might not have been out there the first 6 months or the first 2 months, the first 3 months, But them last couple months, he was feeling better. I'm trying to tell you, hey, he got an advantage.
Wall, I got a question for you. Should John Wall have been in? Should he have been Rookie of the Year the year that Blake Griffin won it?
Probably so. Yeah.
It took you a long time to think. You had to think about that shit for a long time.
I mean, because it
took you a while to think.
It's John Wall. I would say based on like the same thing we're saying with this situation, based on play, Blake played his ass off.
Ben Simmons is playing his ass off.
But it wasn't his rookie season, though. That's how I look at it.
It's the same thing. Blake Griffin.
I understand it's the same thing. If you're going to base it off of performance, then you know, even if you base it off of performance, it's still a toss up between Ben Simmons and Donovan Mitchell.
What about the example with David Robinson? He wasn't even in the United States, so.
The man had an obligation to the military, though. He wasn't hurt.
No. We talk about a disadvantage for the man who got the Rookie of the Year versus the runner-up.
But he wasn't with the team, though, bro. He was with the military. He had an obligation with the military.
That didn't answer my question. So you're saying that the person, since that was not
his – So that was truly his rookie year, honestly, if you really think about it. That was his rookie. He might have signed the contract a couple years ahead of time, but he was – on active military duty, so he couldn't be with the team. So technically, that was David Robinson's rookie year, really.
So that's an exception to the rule, is what you're saying.
Exception to the rule.
Hey, Walt, man.
Exception to the rule.
Hey, I know what it is. Walt eating that meat from Mexico.
Hey, Walt, man, check this out.
That's not how it works. That's not how any of this works.
Nah, man. I'm saying, like, ultimately, dude, like, and I've already said this, but, like, being out there on the floor with your teammates, you can watch all the tape in the world, man, but until you are actually able to be out there with the timing, with the physicality of the game, with even the strategy of it, like, you can watch all the tape in the world you want, but until you actually out there able to execute on that, There's really no advantage to you to have to sit out for a year on your basketball career, man. Like, there's no advantage.
You saying no advantage at all.
There's no advantage to sitting out a whole fucking year on your basketball career, man. There is no.
You won't even concede that. You won't even concede that. Okay, no. I'll say if you feel as though that it's his first year being on the court, so he's a rookie, okay, but you won't concede that he got no advantage
Walt, ask yourself. Ask anybody, would you want to sit out a year from being a part of the game? Would you want to do that?
Would he want to? No.
Okay. So if this is something nobody wants to do and they can't go out there and participate in the games, they can't go out there and execute on these plays, they can't go out there and make sure that the timing on these plays and their timing with their teammates is correct, how then can you therefore say that this is somehow an advantage for them to come in a year later after they get drafted because, okay, he's been around the team. Being around the team, yeah, I could see travel maybe, but the actual being out there on the floor with these guys, knowing where they want the ball, you can see where they want the ball on film. But okay, how do you get the timing down? How do you get the spacing on the floor down until you actually?
All that's fine and dandy. I understand that stuff that had to, certain things that had to come, you know, in the game. But there's certain things that he got by not being in the game too, and you poo pooing that. You throwing that to the side. You know what I'm saying? Like you're not paying attention to the stuff that he did, gang.
You throwing to the side that these motherfuckers are hurt. Like, that's the reason why they're not on the floor. They hurt.
An injury is a part of the game.
But they not on the
floor. You can't go.
If an injury is such a part of the game to the point where they would hold the fact that you are unable to play and be able to take the fact that, you know what? You hurt. You can't compete for this Rookie of the Year. That's not fair, man. That's not fair at all.
Life ain't fair.
That's not fair, man.
It ain't fair that Kyrie Irving can't compete for a championship this year. It ain't fair that Gordon Hayward got hurt the first day of the season. It ain't fair.
That's not
life ain't fair, bro.
You keep comparing rookie of the year to team goals, though. Like, those are two different things, man. Like, team accomplishments are a hell of a lot different than individual accomplishments.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It takes more of – it takes a team effort for a guy to get to the NBA championship. There's no guarantee that Kyrie Irving was going to compete for an NBA championship this year. Just not. It was no guarantee of that.
No, there's no guarantee. But at the same time,
the point I'm trying to make
to you is, if injury takes you out, you can't get no do-overs. You don't get no do-overs, bruh. That's not a do-over. You get to do your rookie season over because you was hurt last year. You don't get no do-overs.
You never did the fucking season, dog. How can you do over something you never fucking did? You didn't play last year.
I have an analogy that I want to use. I don't think it's appropriate, but it's very good. Okay.
But it
will definitely break this down to a very good science. So, you know, if you have a virgin, okay, and she watches porn all day, she knows.
Oh my gosh, man! Where did he just go?
But you can never. Once you pop that cherry, it's over. You can never go back again. So you can't say that because somebody is watching the game and somebody's watching this and seeing and learning. That don't mean that it's over for them. It's only that you got to get on the court and play, man. You got to get on the court and play. That's the only way you're gonna eliminate the fact that somebody has taken away the fact that you can't play for this rookie of the year. You got to go on there and play. If he played one game, and they said, you know what? Oh, he blew his knee out. He's not going to be able to get the rookie of the year no more because he actually played a basketball game. And that's extreme. I would never want that to happen to somebody, but it's a reality. You know, he actually played a basketball game. This dude hurt himself before the season. He never played a game. How can you strip him from trying to get that rookie of the year? Hold on. Who was the big center with Portland? Greg Oden. He played his first year.
Greg Oden, like
about a couple years. And he blew his in the first month. There's something crazy. He was with Ohio State, right? He came from Ohio State.
Yeah. He was a fuck-eye.
But the thing is, he was a number one draft. He was expected to do great. Now, did they say, well, you know what, when you come back next season, you can play for rookie of the year? No. Oh, you played, bro. It's over now. It's over. So, you know what? And actually, with the David Robinson example, how you can make that? How can you say, well, that's an exception to the rule because he was in the military? No, he never played. So now he has an opportunity now. You know?
You got to play in the games, bro. Like, that's at the bottom line. Like, yo, you got to play in the games. Like, just because you got
drafted.
You know
what? To hell with y'all. I'm going to stay on my island. Okay?
Hey.
And I'm going to have all the fruit. And coconut to my goddamn self. I'm gonna stay on my island.
We're gonna see if you by yourself, Walt, because I made this a poll on the website, man. On the beerchickenpod.com, man. This is a poll on whether or not you believe. Dead ass, man. You go on the website right now and vote in the poll to see whether or not you are named in the poll, Walt. Like, yo, is Walt bugging? Like, like, do you agree with Walt? Whether or not they should change the rules for rookie of the year.
Man, you saw Donovan Mitchell's sweatshirt and the definition of a rookie.
Okay, I've also seen Ben Simmons ball out this year, man.
Ben Simmons is an animal, though. I watched the game yesterday. Man, Ben Simmons is an animal, though, man. Hey, listen, we finna get into this playoff talk. Let's go. Let's get into this playoff talk.
Actually, before we get into this playoff talk, I actually had this question that I wanted to ask y'all and I wanted to ask the listeners because this is something that I think is like, it's crazy to me how people are kind of like glossing over this. And I wanted to present this question to y'all. Whether or not you believe that Russell Westbrook has made people believe that the triple-double is no longer a significant thing, right? And the reason why I'm asking that is because, as we know, Russell Westbrook for the second consecutive season has averaged a fucking triple-double. We haven't seen anything like this in a generation. We haven't seen nobody do this since Oscar Robertson. This dude has done this shit twice in back-to-back years, and yet we are not hearing as much talk about Russell Westbrook being MVP this year. So the question that I would have for y'all would be whether or not you believe that folks are kind of like, the triple-double ain't really all that significant now anymore. What do you think about that? You can start off, Cliff.
Honestly, the game is not played like it was back in the day. People don't look at the game like they did. And individual statistics like a triple-double, hell, even a double-double. You know what? Now it's like, oh, LeBron has another triple-double. Russell has another triple-double. Back in the day, getting a triple-double, man, was highly respected. It was something that people sought out there to do and couldn't do. Like you said, Oscar's career, he averaged a triple-double. We got to make sure we say that right. His career, he averaged a triple-double. So I think people are just, they want to see more slam dunks. They want to see people getting crossed over and breaking ankles. So when it comes to the statistics revolved around being able to get 10, 10, and 10, and whatever stats those are, people just don't see it like a big deal because they want to see the flashiness. They want to see people, you know, having the highlights and all that. And that's not a highlight to the new generation. To somebody like us, it would be looked at different, you know. That's pretty much all I got, man, truthfully.
Quick.
Let me say this. Shout out to Russell Westbrook. As a basketball fan, as a hooper myself, man, that's amazing, bro. A triple-double, averaging a triple-double for 2 years straight, making history like that. And for him not to be mentioned in the MVP discussion is a crime. It's a straight-up crime. Because you go from last year, you had to give it to him. It was mandatory. Russ averaged a triple-double. You got to give him MVP. Nobody else deserves it. You got to give it to him. But all of a sudden, now he ain't even in the top 3, 4, 5 discussion for the MVP. And he just made history? That's a crime, man. It don't make no sense. Why? Because James Harden balling? James Harden been balling. James Harden was balling last year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now,
you understand what I'm saying? So,
now, one of the reasons I think that, like, a lot of folks are, like, kind of, like, not giving him as much credit as they were giving him last year, even though it was a fight. Last year, like, it was arguments about whether or not he deserved the MVP last year, despite the fact that, yo, this was something that we hadn't seen since Oscar Robertson. Now, I wanted to say something about Cliff. You said Oscar Robertson averaged that for his career. He didn't.
Oh, I thought he did.
No, he did. He did it that one season. Okay. But I think it was
one season.
Yeah, he did it that one season. But, like, with him doing this 2 years in a row, like, it was odd to me that even last year you had guys who were, like, kind of downplaying the fact that this dude was averaging a triple-double last year, and there was arguments about whether or not he deserved the MVP over James Harden. Now, even James Harden was putting up hellified numbers close to a triple-double, not quite a triple-double, and yet, you know, folks were looking at team success also, right? You know, the team success can also contribute to whether or not you believe a player is worthy of the MVP. And as it stands right now, the Oklahoma City Thunder, they finished the season 48-34. One of the reasons I think folks are kind of like poo-pooing it this year is because you get the sense that the Oklahoma City Thunder may have underachieved this year, considering that not only is it Russell Westbrook, but he's got Paul George and he's got Carmelo Anthony on that team as well. And, you know, folks are feeling like, you know, maybe – They should have won a hell of a lot more games considering the team that they put together over there in Oklahoma City. They do have a big three there. But this, like, for me, I'm looking at this, like, even with the fact that he's got Paul George and Carmelo Anthony there, this motherfucker still averaged a triple-double for a season, dude. Like, I'm looking at this like, dude, I think Russell Westbrook is probably one of the most underappreciated players of this generation right now.
You know why?
Because he plays in Oklahoma City?
Nope.
Why? That's because it's because he hasn't won anything.
Nope.
That's and we live in that. We live in the era. Nope. Until you win, you know, you're going to be you Carmelo Anthony.
Nah, I wouldn't even.
You know what I'm saying? Look at Carmelo Anthony. Carmelo Anthony had a Hall of Fame career. But because he ain't been on the team that's been past the second round of the play, he went to the conference finals once in a 15-year career.
Same thing with Russell Westbrook.
They went to the finals that one time. And until Russell Westbrook gets to the conference finals without Kevin Durant, you understand what I'm saying? He don't even have to win a championship.
He's got to get to the conference finals. I wouldn't even say Carmelo Anthony is the same caliber player as Russell Westbrook, bro.
I got two things.
Carmelo used to be a dog.
Carmelo, look, and
on top of that, he was the same kind of player as Russ. Russell Westbrook is the type of person. He's ball dominant. Same thing with Carmelo Anthony. He's ball dominant. You give him the ball, you might not get that bitch back.
I don't know about that, man, because Russell Westbrook is averaging a triple-double. That means he's dishing off Tim.
But he's doing it on purpose now. He's doing it just for that now.
Two things. Carmelo, I disagree that he has had a Hall of Fame career. He's a great player. He's an all-star player.
Number-wise, we talking about a scoring champion. Numbers-wise, Carmelo had a Hall of Fame career. He's Charles Barkley. I'm not saying his game is like Charles Barkley. I'm saying, like, career-wise, he Charles Barkley or Reggie Miller or one of them cats. He got a Hall of Fame numbers. He's been on how many all-star teams? He just never been. He went to the conference finals once. He's never been to the big dance. He's never got opportunity.
So I'm gonna go back.
But look who he played for. He played for the dysfunctional ass Knicks for about four or five years. Then he played for Denver.
That was his choice to go to New York. He forced himself.
No, I'm gonna say it's his choice. I'm not saying there's nobody. Yeah, it's his fault.
He forced that trade to New York. So he gets no pass on that one.
I wanna go back to the original question and the original man is Russell Westbrook. Why? You say why has he not gotten the respect from the fans and from the players? You know why? Because he has a bad attitude. He has a horrible fucking attitude. Russell is so, he has his foot so far up his ass, his toe is coming through his mouth. A lot of people don't like Russell because he has a bad fucking attitude. He is a baller. Bottom line, he is a baller, period. But his attitude sucks. It sucks. And for the longest, hell, even when Durant and Harden was there, you saw the clashing, okay? So the fact that he has Carmelo and he got Paul George and he's getting a triple-double, he changed his game. And I respect that as a player. He changed his game because now you know what he's saying? I can still get me a 20-piece, and somebody taught him how to share the ball, how to get rebounds, do all this together. Because they said, if you want to be the greatest, you got to learn how to do everything like LeBron. You know what I'm saying? To me, as an all-around player, I think Westbrook is second to LeBron. All around, defense, scoring, assists, rebounds, blocks, steals, all that. He is that athletic. So the reason why he's not getting the respect is because he has a bad attitude. He has a horrible attitude.
You know why I disagree with you, Cliff? Because we've seen a player who was all-time great with a really fucked-up attitude get adulation on his way out of the door of the game. Kobe fucking Bryant. Kobe Bryant's attitude was shit. Kobe Bryant's attitude...
The worst.
Kobe Bryant's attitude is part of the reason why that Lakers dynasty was broken the fuck up. Kobe Bryant wanted to be the greatest of all time. And you know what? I have no beef with him about that. But Kobe Bryant's attitude was fucked up for the vast majority of his career. And Kobe Bryant walked away from the game as probably one of the top four or five best players to ever have done it. Right? But Kobe Bryant's attitude was shit. So I don't know if I even buy the fact that, you know, Russell Westbrook may have had, you know, he has a bad attitude and that's why he's not appreciated. Even when Kobe was still playing, like, Kobe had stands, nigga. You had people talking about Kobe being better than Mike at one point, even though he was imitating Mike. Like, I don't know how the imitation is better than the original, but whatever. You know what I'm saying? But you had that. You know what I'm saying? Like Kobe has his stands, man. Like, Kobe, even to this day, like, when you start talking about whether or not, you know, Jordan and LeBron, who's the GOAT and all this other shit. You still got motherfuckers like, but what about Kobe, though? How y'all forgetting Kobe? Kobe's attitude was shit, bro. So, like, I don't even know if I would even say that it's because of that that people are underappreciating Russell Westbrook.
You're right. Kobe's attitude was shit. Kobe broke the man rule. He fucking went on the world and tricked off on his your boy by cheating on his wife on live TV. That's fucked up. That's true. But what Kobe has, and I'm gonna bring Walt in on this one. What Kobe has that Westbrook ain't got is rings. Motherfucker said, "Fuck it, Kobe a bitch may do, but guess what? He won with and without Shaq. I can't stand Kobe. I am not a Kobe fan. But what he does have, he brought championships to that city, and people took this. They said, oh, here's his attitude. Here's these championship rings. You know what? We can forget about his attitude because he won. So, that changes things. That changes things, especially five. Especially five. I am not a Kobe fan. I will take Shaq as far as the reason why they won all day. But the fact that he won, man, that whole attitude thing and the fact that he tricked off on his own homie Dick is it gets thrown out the window. You know what I'm saying?
Well, with Kobe, we can't give him that we can't use Shaq as the reason why he won because he won without him. So we can take that off the table.
Second of all,
you're right. Kobe had a horrible goddamn attitude. But people didn't care about Kobe's attitude as much as y'all think he did. Why? Because Kobe just won an Oscar. Like, a lot of people like Kobe. I don't know why. Because I'm with you, Cliff. I am not a Kobe fan. I can't stand the motherfucker. You know, but it same thing. Westbrook attitude ain't like Kobe's in a way, though. Kobe's a snob. Westbrook ain't really a snob. Westbrook just tell you how it is, and if you don't like him, you can fuck off. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's just really what it is. Like, Kobe's got like this uppity, I'm better than everybody attitude, and that's the one thing that turned a lot of people off with Kobe. But rings change all that, like you said. Westbrook need to win, bro. But what all this boils down to is Westbrook need to win, because everybody looking at it ain't the triple-doubles that people are minimizing. It's the fact that, okay, Russ, we know you can ball, but it ain't translating to the W column. You see what I'm saying? It ain't translating to no rings.
Here's the thing. I got the standings pulled up right here now. They were fourth in the West. They are 48 and 34. They finished 17 games behind the Rockets, who were 65 and 17.
I mean, here's the thing, man. Here's the thing. As far as Westbrook getting the MVP, I mean, from our standpoint, I think we all agree he deserves the MVP. But who votes for the people? Who votes for the players to get the MVP? The people do. So
no.
Guess what?
The people don't vote? No. No,
that's an all-star. That's the all-star.
It's the press. The media is the ones who decide who these awards go to.
Right. So my thing is, at the end of the day, it's somebody else who's in control. And they probably are not looking, like I said before, they're not looking at the fact that he puts up some amazing statistics, who averaged a triple-double 2 years in a row. It should be like unanimous. Oh, no, Russell, he's guaranteed this. They should actually go on TV and say he's guaranteed this. But he doesn't get that type of respect because he's not the most liked person in the NBA. I guarantee you. People want...
There's certainly a popularity contest. There's some popularity concern is, because I like, even with the I remember it, like, going back to, like, even when we talk about Kobe, there was an MVP that Steve Nash won that definitely should have been one of Kobe's. Like, Kobe, the year that Kobe scored 81, he should have won a motherfucking MVP that year, but they gave that shit to Steve Nash. And I'm like, how in the fuck did Steve Nash walk away with a goddamn MVP 2 years running? Like, I didn't, like, that whole shit was like shammy to me, man. But it's just weird, like, watching this dude produce the amount of basketball, produce the caliber of basketball that he's putting out, and yet he's not like one, like, he's not even considered. It's like he's not even considered one of the top three dudes in the NBA right now. Like, you got LeBron, Kevin Durant,
KD,
and a lot of people would say Steph Curry. despite like
or Kawhi Leonard or
Kyrie Irving. Like Russell Westbrook yep. usually is kind of relegated to maybe the fourth or fifth option when you talk about top 10 guys in the league. You know what I'm saying? Despite the fact that this dude is out here producing insane numbers. Like, it's just crazy to me to, like, watch how people kind of poo-poo on the fact that this dude has did this 2 years running. Nobody saw this, in, like, since, like, the 60s and shit. It's a once-in-a-generational player, and yet we are, like, having this, like, debate as to whether or not he's worthy of the NBA's MVP award, right? But it is almost time for us to kind of move along. So y'all know what it is, right?
I can't wait for you to play it. Please.
I thought about renaming this shit Hot Wings, man. Because there'd be some hot takes on this motherfucker, bro. But here we go, man. We're going to wing it.
Wait, we got to do picks, though. We got to pick at the beginning of the playoffs. We can't wait to the middle of the playoffs. We got to pick. Who we got? The NBA playoffs. Who we got?
Nigga, the NBA playoffs are going to be going on for 2 months.
Like, I'm just saying, but okay, you're going to pick who going to win the playoffs in the middle of the
No.
What
we can do because okay, fuck it. I got the fucking let me look at this damn what's the name? I got the Warriors winning it again.
No. Okay, we can do conference finals. You want to do conference finals first? And then we'll do who win and whoever win the conference, we'll make our finals picks when the finals get here. We'll do that.
Or we could just do that shit on the website. We could put our brackets up on the website and pick it that way.
Okay, that works.
Put that on the website. And this nigga's computer shut off. Ain't this a bitch? the struggle cast continue. Let me take a screenshot of Cliff's picture face right now as his shit is frozen. Let me get this motherfucker screenshot of this nigga looking goofy as fuck, nigga. Let me get that your screenshot. Send this out on all the social medias. But no, we about to wing it, bro.
We'll do it live. We'll do it live. Fuck it.
All right, Walt, man. What you winging it on today, bro?
I really this whole Kaepernick thing got to go away. This whole Kaepernick thing got to go away. Now, this man got a lawsuit against the NFL for collusion, keeping him out of the league because of his protests. Seattle Seahawks call him in, ask him if he's willing to drop the protest. He says he doesn't have an answer at that moment. They postpone the meeting. Bruh, you just made this man lawsuit for him. You just basically sat here and said that you can't play for our team just yet until you figure out if you're going to stop kneeling or not. But all along, all we've been hearing is, oh, he's not in the league because of football reasons. But we now know that that ain't true. Cap need to make a decision. Do we want to play football? Or do we want to be an activist? He can't have it both ways, apparently, because they're not going to let him have it both ways. And the only way this thing is going to go away is, one, Kaepernick get too old to play football, and then we know he's not coming back. Or two, he comes out and say, I'm done with playing football, or I'm done with kneeling, one or the other. But at the end of the day, we've been talking about this situation for almost 2 years, and it need to go away. And that's all I got to say about that.
All right. We talked a little bit about that last week with the whole thing with Cap, man. So I definitely get it. Since we waiting on Cliff to get back in this young chat here, I'm going to start my winging it, man. I'm winging it on the NBA's dress code, man. Now, the last couple, like, days, man, we've seen some deviations from the dress code. We've seen JaVale McGee rock out with a gold mouthpiece last game against, I believe they're playing the San Antonio Spurs in these playoffs. His gold mouthpiece looked like he was rocking the motherfucking grill, dog. We had Swaggy P show up to a motherfucking basketball game. Show up to a game in his drawers, dog. He had on motherfucking silk boxes and a robe and a wife beater, nigga. And he walked up into the arena in his drawers, man. Hey, like, I'm not for the respectability politics shit, man. I'm really not. But come on, bro. You can't be walking around out here in your motherfucking drawers, man. Like, that can't be the thing, man. That can't be what we out here doing, man. What the fuck? This nigga talk about let me in, man. Let me... Let me see what the fuck is going on with Cliff. But yeah, man, you can't be walking around here in your motherfucking drawers, man, showing up on TV in your drawers and some slippers and whatnot, man. Like, it just can't be that, man. It can't be that. And we hear Cliff Kids all in the background, my nigga. We hear it all in the background, my nigga. But yeah, that's almost as bad as Swaggy P showing up in his motherfucking drawers, nigga. But that's what I'm wigging it on, man. Stop showing up to the motherfucker work in your damn work in your pajamas, nigga. Like, just don't stop doing that. But
that's I saw that.
That's all I got, that. Man. What you got? What you wigging it on, Cliff?
It's so funny we're talking about the NBA because I saw a top 10 plays travels. I have to. And they were talking about how bad James Harden travels, man. Did y'all see how bad he traveled when he played the Bulls?
Nah.
He took five steps, and the ref was right to the left of him. I just don't get it. I just don't get it. But I ain't going to wing it too long, man, because I know I'm standing here behind my right in front of my bar, and y'all hear my kids, so... We can wrap it up, man.
All right, man. All right. So this has been episode 10 of the Beer and Chicken Podcast, man. Yo, you can find us on Apple Podcast. You can find us on Google Play Music. You can find us on Stitcher Radio. You can find us on thespareport.com. You can find us on beerandchickenpod.com. You can subscribe to the show. Leave those 5-star reviews on iTunes and or Stitcher Radio. Hit us all up on Twitter. My name on Twitter is Mr_Span. You got the homeboy Cliff. His name is DJ Neff2. You got the homeboy Walt. His name is Walt Lockdown. All of those are on Twitter, man. Go ahead and hit up the Span Report Podcast Network store, man. Get yourself some merch. Get yourself some beer and chicken shit. You know what I'm saying? Swag out with your boys, man. Swag out with your boys. Get you some shit. Get you some stickers. Get you some, like, hoodies and shit. Get you something to put on your laptop computer that don't work, my nigga. Like, all of that, man. Go ahead and get yourself some merch, man, and support the Beer and Chicken Podcast movement, man, as we continue to do this. We appreciate everybody who goes about the business of doing that. And those 5-star reviews, man, when you do that, we really do appreciate that. Go ahead, leave those 5-star reviews on iTunes and Stitcher. We'll read those on the show. We'll respond to all the emails here live on the show as well. All of the contact information to the Beer and Chicken Podcast will be available in the show notes. So go ahead and reference the show notes when you want to see how to call us, how to email us, how to hit us up, and all the other avenues that we got. Go ahead and hit up those show notes and on the website, thebeerandchickenpod.com and thespanreport.com, right? But we are about to get out of here, and we'll talk to you guys again soon. So until next time, fam.
Don't eat no Mexican meat.
This nigga, this Mexican meat. Nigga. All right, peace.